Welcome to a pod of the action.
We're going to have a chat with Isabella from Brisbane about the two rallies that she attended last weekend. So are you there, Isabella?
I am. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Last weekend, there was a Palm Sunday refugee rally in Brisbane, as there was around the country. But that wasn't the only refugee rally that happened last Sunday. What was the first one that you went to?
So the first one I attended as a matter for independent media and research was a march for South Africa to save the South African farmers explicitly from white genocide that many people in the South African community and many white Australian racists believe is occurring in South Africa right now because of an announcement by the South African government to reappropriate land without compensation.
Right. And so this issue sprang to prominence. There has been some talk about this for quite some time in white nationalist and far-right circles, but it sort of was thrust into the public debate on March the 18th when Peter Dutton came out and announced that he's considering fast-tracking visas, which is pretty baffling when you consider Peter Dutton's opinions on refugees and previous policies on refugees to come out and say, oh, we're going to fast-track them. There's nothing to see here, but I think Blind Freddy can see that there's something deeper going on behind this.
Yes, there definitely is, and it's also quite concerning to me as someone who's studied this conspiracy in the far right for some time about white genocide, particularly in South Africa, that this conspiracy suddenly went straight from the far right to the halls of parliament with seemingly no intermediaries except perhaps some leaders in the white South African community in Australia who I expect have been lobbying politicians for some time. Of course, we were all quite shocked when Dutton announces this policy with absolutely no diplomatic consultation or parliamentary research into different committees about the actual situation in South Africa.
So how many people do you think turned out for the rally against white genocide?
I would estimate up to 1,500. I know the organisers are claiming about 2,500. It is hard to get a head count, but it was well over 1,000, perhaps closer to 2,000.
Wow, that's...
Which is...
Yeah.
Yeah, like you live in Adelaide and you would have been to these rallies before. Brisbane and Adelaide are not like Melbourne or... to a smaller extent, Sydney, where you get people out in great numbers for any kind of cause.
Mm.
As people who've been in the refugee movement for many years, it's rare these days to have those kind of numbers in Brisbane at a Palm Sunday rally as well. So it was quite shocking. And, of course, the demographics of the March for South Africa were almost entirely white. I think I saw one brown person in the crowd. Mostly the South African community and also what appeared to be a large white nationalist Australian presence, because obviously if we watch the far right on Facebook, they've really taken this up as their cause. So this is their opportunity to kind of embed themselves in with people who actually do really think like them.
Mm. Yeah, and it sort of feeds into their narrative perfectly, doesn't it?
It definitely does. It's a strange narrative because, of course, the Boers and white nationalists of any background are strong believers in the supremacy of their race or ethnicity. You know, we know that whiteness is just a defined category that didn't always exist. But they're also very quick to... play the victim, and they can't make up their mind whether they're superior race or whether they're now the minority in society who are oppressed.
Yeah,
and it's always expressed at exactly the same time. strangely. Yeah.
Under threat from inferior people.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, not many people listening probably haven't, you know, they would have heard of this story because it's got quite a lot of coverage in the last week or so. But is there a white genocide happening in South Africa, I suppose, is the question to answer.
There's definitely not a white genocide occurring in South Africa. I mean, we all know that South Africa is an incredibly violent country with crime that seems almost entirely indiscriminate. And I would say that if you were to analyse it, it would be more along class lines.
Mm.
But there is no white genocide occurring in South Africa. And I think even Peter Dutton admitted this week, because he was told that obviously if these farmers that feel they're the target move to other cities within South Africa, they'll no longer be targets of this policy, they don't like, and he's trying to find ways around that so he can still classify them as refugees.
Mm. Yeah, it would be nice if he bent the rules for some other people around rather than...
Yes.
Doing all of the things that he's done whenever refugees have been mentioned previously. You mentioned class there, and I think that's an important thing to talk about a little bit too, because the people that Peter Dutton want to bring over here, they're not Boers that are living in slums and shanty towns, which do exist in South Africa. There are massive inequalities, but they're not the people that we're talking about here, are they?
No, these are landowners and they're often quite rich. And we know from history of two waves of South African immigration to Australia. The first in the 1980s when there was a black majority government elected in Zimbabwe. So they obviously started to feel afraid. And then the second was in the 90s after Nelson Mandela was elected, and apartheid was completely abolished. So these white South Africans then fled to Australia again, mostly to Perth initially. And they were not the white working class living in poverty. They were rich landowners or business owners who had the money to immigrate.
Mm.
And I really noticed, which I guess you can expect, is in this conversation, because I'm not going to call it a debate, about white genocide, the people who believe in white genocide, of course, lack a class analysis entirely. The people that they're focused on are their family members who also come from more well-off backgrounds, and the farmers. They're not concerned about the farm workers, which includes blacks and whites, who earn only, you know, the equivalent to about Australian $16 a day, and who do live in these slums and shanty towns. Their advocacy for these people is based, I would say, almost entirely on skin and skin colour and economic position. So it's the rich Boers that they want to bring here. But if you raise that with them, I think it would probably spin their head a little bit.
Yeah, or be completely ignored, as sometimes can be the case.
Yeah, and we know people living in shanty towns are not going to make it here as immigrants.
Yeah.
So a lot of the rhetoric at this March for South Africa was very much, there was this really chilling prayer at the beginning by the South African organiser, who decided that he would say the Australian National Anthem as a prayer to begin the speeches at the rally, which was like bizarre to me. And it was almost like Peter Dutton has obviously had all of these ideas about pledging loyalty to the nation and having to pass these character tests, etc. So these white South Africans at this rally were very quick to prove themselves in front of the crowd and the media that were there to say that they were model citizens who'd assimilated and integrated. And the South Africans and the white Australians who were there, including MP Andrew Laming and Senator Fraser Anning, were very quick to say that these people are just like us, which means white Australians of a certain economic standing, because we know that the Australian white working class gets overlooked quite often. These people are just like us. They will integrate really well. They won't be on the dole. They won't cause any crime waves like those other people. They have the skills we need. Like, we need more farmers. So, it's again, it's like another a second wave of colonialism in appropriating farmland that belongs to traditional owners. And I'm not even sure we do need more farmers, actually. I think we need to change our farming practices to climate change.
Yeah, more to the point, yes.
And pay our farmers more for what they produce for us. So very much talking about how, you know, they're just like us, they love cricket and footy and barbecues. They'll come here and assimilate and integrate. They're highly skilled people. They'll fit right in. And it was really quite chilling because you knew exactly who they were comparing them to, especially in terms of we're both colonial nations and have been brutally colonial nations and continue to be in Australia. There were lots of chants of save our people, save our country, and lots of thank you, Mr. Dutton. Like, he's really gotten them on side. So I think he's already shored up a voter base here, and if he was to be successful with this immigration white South African refugee policy, again, he would have a completely shored up voter base.
Yeah, which is concerning when you're sort of oppressing people to win votes is pretty disgusting.
Definitely.
You mentioned Fraser Anning. I've done a little bit of research on this week, and he seems to be a bit of a character. So he ran as a One Nation senator and then was sworn in as a One Nation senator and resigned from the party an hour later?
Yes, yeah, it was bizarre for me. Like, obviously, he'd had it planned. I think he had some kind of falling out with Pauline Hanson, either over internal politics and his advisors not being allowed to sit at the table, but it also could have been about money, because I know she demands quite a lot of fees from the candidates that run for her. So he is treading a very fine line of hate speech laws, but he's very careful not to mention anyone, any ethnic group in particular, though you know who he's talking about. So
yeah.
Andrew Laming's speech, which you can find online at this rally, was really quite shocking, and he's obviously a very charismatic speaker as well as audiences like this. And then Fraser Anning got up and spoke after Andrew Laming, and it all went downhill as soon as he said the word Rhodesia. And he obviously was citing crimes that we hear about that may have happened in South Africa, like brutal and horrific crimes. And he said these people are subhuman, which we all know who he's talking about, black South Africans. And he's since been on social media also saying, defending the white South African farmers and promoting this policy that they're refugees and deserve to come here. He's since been on social media linking this to the imagined African gang crisis in Melbourne and saying we don't want any more people to...
The fabricated African gangs. If any of the listeners here remember the Gang of 49 that was proven to be completely fabricated by the advertiser here, then you know exactly what's going on with the Apex gang over in Melbourne.
I need to look that up later on for Gang
That's
of 49. I'll
Gang
later.
Of 49.
Make
mental yeah.
note.
Yeah, it was literally invented. It was pretty crazy.
And it is quite scary how quickly these beliefs and spread. It is a form of hysteria, and obviously it's a form of hysteria that has a confirmation bias for people who do think that there's too many immigrants, or that they don't like immigrants from certain backgrounds, or they feel threatened. I guess a lot of it is about white fragility in this country, because we're still a colonial country, and if you can't acknowledge that or don't want to acknowledge that, you are afraid that your position in society, if you're not white and working class, is one day going to be threatened. Because obviously that's the feeling of what's happening in South Africa, is that there's going to be land appropriations without compensation. It is only 30% of the land, which is quite modest.
Yeah.
And we could analyse South African government decisions another time because it takes forever.
But, I mean, they've been talking about these appropriations for a couple of decades now, and only modest moves have been made to actually implement it.
Yeah, and obviously, like with any kind of truth and justice commission and reconciliation, which Australia obviously has not been through yet, despite the apology to the Stolen Generation, that was a very small part of it, there should be some form of reparations, whether that's in the form of land or whether it's in the form of, in Australia, you know, paying back stolen wages or compensating Stolen Generation. So this reparations for South Africa shouldn't come as a surprise, but it deeply threatens the white, rich class there and landowning class, and it also seems to deeply threaten Australians who already live in this state of fear about the other.
Yeah, but hardly a genocide. I was just, when I was doing the research, I came across a bloke by the name of Steve Hoffmeyer. So he's a musician and performer, but it's also a bit of a white rights activist over there. And he published claims that white farmers are facing murder rates higher than other ethnic groups. I think his blog post was entitled, "Our People Are Dropping Like Flies." A website called Africa Check, which does sort of fact checks and into media, published a report, a very comprehensive report, really digging into the claims he was making, and they found them to be incorrect at best and baseless propaganda at worst. It was a real smackdown, and I'll probably link to that to that article because it's quite interesting in this sort of conversation to have a look at that.
But, I think that's a really good tool for listeners to have if this conversation is coming up in their families or social circles.
So. But the interesting thing about Steve Hoffmeyer, and this quote is absolute gold because I have experienced this in many online debates about many different subjects, but in responding to the Africa Check report, he said, "Far more than facts, it is people's emotions and experiences that matter. So our people die like flies is still applicable emotionally and does not need to be supported by facts." So that's...
It's astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is in this age of fake news that you can see that blatant.
Yeah.
Yet the emotions of, Rohingyans or Syrians or Kurds who's experiencing genocide and torture and endless war, they don't matter at all.
No.
Let alone other immigrants from other African nations who've also experienced the same and are now the target of our hatred in Australia for many people.
And looking through some of the statistics around this, so the contention is that there's a white genocide happening of African farmers in South Africa, to the point where we've got federal politicians calling for fast track visas, and we've got mobilisations on the street of people protesting this outrage. So I thought I'd just have a look at what is actually happening on farms in South Africa. And as you mentioned earlier, there is no argument that there is a violence problem in Africa, not just on farms, but, generally. So I thought, if there's a white genocide going on, let's have a look at some statistics on murders and that, which are a little bit difficult to nail down, but... The source I've used for these ones is actually AfriForum, which is an advocacy group for white South African farmers. And so they've reported that in 2012-13, there was 173 attacks on farms and there was 61 murders. And then we fast forward to 2016-17 and attacks have in fact increased, or over doubled, the attacks have, but the murders have increased to 78. And it's been sitting around 70 for the last 3 or 4 years. So, I mean, if you were going to do a genocide, that's probably a pretty... It's not really the way...
A really low number, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
it's interesting that, that's actually coming from the horse's mouth there. And I can't remember if it was... There was a Farmers Federation that came out after Peter Dutton offered the fast-track visas and said, well... Thanks, mate. We really appreciate your support, but we're probably going to stay here and do this thing that we're doing. We want to fix it up here. We don't actually want to leave the country and emigrate to Australia. So they were happy that they were getting publicity from his statements, but as far as actually wanting to come here, so it's obviously a political tactic from Dutton and from Anning and others to shift, you know, to push the coalition in a rightward direction when it comes to issues and race and immigration.
Definitely. And I have read the same, that they've, you know, many of these farmers and these advocacy groups have said, actually, we don't want to immigrate, which I believe is also a part of, you know, we don't want to give up our land and this is our place. And at the rally, I noticed there were a lot of people talking about, bring our families here, and not all of their families are farmers, obviously, but these are people who've come here on usually business visas or... They haven't come as refugees, obviously, so they've paid quite a lot for their immigration visas. And they have these very emotive arguments that their families are under threat, which I don't doubt that everyone in South Africa has an experience or a fear of violence. But the farmers don't want to move, according to the advocacy group.
So it's sort of... that really exposes what this is about, and it's not about actually helping anyone. It's about... changing the conversation to suit their agendas.
Yes, a right populism. A friend of mine made the remark to me that it's a rare cultural event, because you'll find that white supremacists are now advocating for a humane refugee policy.
Yeah, yeah.
But of course only for a certain group.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, and like we've mentioned a couple of times already, but I think it's really important to understand that there is a violence problem in South Africa, and it's not necessarily a race problem. It's an issue of poverty. It's an issue of social issues, not racial issues.
Yeah, mass social inequality, people, you know, not living off very low incomes, if any, workers who are exploited. I'm talking about blacks and white. The education system in South Africa is, like, the higher education system has also been dismantled over a period of time, I believe. And, you know, there's mass student protests that black and white students are involved in about this. So I see all of this as very much a legacy of colonialism and apartheid, in that it does take generations to right these kind of social inequalities, particularly after there have been racial inequality, unless you have the right leadership and the money is going in the right places. And I know that we can make criticisms of the ANC in recent years, but it's not simple, and it's not a simple fix, and it won't be for Australia either, to move past colonialism into a society that acknowledges First Nations peoples as traditional owners and has their sovereignty and rights at the forefront. And it hasn't obviously been easy at all in South Africa to overcome those long-held and very deep hatreds, particularly white towards black, and then to deal with social inequality.
Yeah. Yes, well, thank you very much for your time, Isabella. We're running out of time here, but we appreciate very much you coming on and telling us about the refugee rally that wasn't necessarily for refugees.
No. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Thank you.